Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for being our Father that we can call on. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, who is our living hope. And God, I pray that today you would speak to our hearts and remind us, Lord, of your goodness, your power, your grace, how awesome you are no matter what we're walking through. We love you, Jesus. And it's your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. High five somebody before you sit down. Come on, let's get a little energy in the room today. All right. Listen, you guys got up in the rain. You're the real ones. All right. Y'all are the real ones. All right, we will judge the people who slept in. We'll judge them later on. All right, y'all the varsity Christians. Well, good morning. Thank you guys so much for being here. As Jeff said, your presence matters. It's a really big deal to us that you're here today. If this is one of your first times, stop by. We would love to meet you. We'd love to connect. Our teams work really, really hard to make this church feel like your church. And we want you to feel connected and know that we love you and care so, so much about you. As we jump into today, before we jump into today, I've got a really, really, really special announcement. I'm going to ask Miss Erica to come on forward. All right. Today, I'm excited to let you guys know that, well, let me back up. For some of you, for a while, you know we have been praying and God put on our heart the Hope Center, a biblical counseling center. And the reason behind that is very simple. As our church began to grow and everybody started going, hey, Bobby, when are you going to build a new building? When are y'all going to move out of the cafeteria? And I'm like, I don't know, but I want to do that. I really, really do. And God just kind of began to work in my heart, and I'll never forget this the rest of my life. And he said, Bobby, I want you to shepherd the people I've given you before I give you more. And so that's kind of the birth of the counseling center came through that, just to shepherd people well, to care for people well. So we've been praying, and all roads have led to Miss Erica Rollins is going to come on our staff in a part-time role right now. And she is going to begin to get our counseling center up and rolling and lead that project, all right? Now, sounds like you got some fans in here, Erica. Let me just tell you guys this. I don't want to miss this because this is really good. In case you don't know who Erica is, I'm going to read it because I don't want to miss anything. Erica and Brian, you guys know Brian. Is he in here? Hey, Brian. Pastor Brian speaks for us sometime. He does everything, not just speaking. But they've been a part of City Hope for 4 years since we got started. And together, they have two little girls, Ellie and Josie. And they have been serving in ministry for the past 15-plus years. But let me tell you a little bit about Erica. Erica earned her master's in biblical counseling from Southeastern Seminary in 2016. And she has been praying and asking God. She's been using that, but is now completing another master's degree in, let me say this right, Christian Individual Marriage and Family Counseling. So you just like school, I think. But she is a member of the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy, certified preparer, enrich facilitator. Some of this stuff, I don't even know what it means. But it just means that she's awesome, all right? And so here's what, beginning tomorrow, tomorrow's first day, day one, Erica's going to join our team, and she's going to begin getting our counseling center up and rolling. And so, number one, I want to ask you just to pray for Erica. Begin to pray for her as she leads this, as she steps into this role. And but also, some of you who have expressed just your excitement or your passion about helping people, we're going to be reaching out. One of her big deals that we've put in front of her is to create a team of peer counselors and train those people and help those people. So if you have a heart for people and you want to help and you want to dig in, connect with Erica, all right? So thank you. We're excited. We're ready. Come on, one more time. Give Erica. Thank you so much. Thank you. We're super, super excited to see how this ministry gets up and rolling. And again, if you are interested, make sure you talk to Erica. All right, ready? Jump into Colossians chapter 1. My goal is to finish Colossians 1 today, all right? I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'm going to try, okay? Colossians 1, we'll begin reading in verse 19 here in just a moment. So Colossians is a letter that the Apostle Paul has written. He's addressing heresy in the church. People have been teaching things that are not true about God. The opposite of what God was saying, people were teaching in the church the opposite of what God was doing. And so Paul was reminding the church, this is a letter to the church, he was reminding them, this is what God has done. And now he's telling them, well, this is who Jesus is, okay? And so we finished verse 18 last week, so we're going to pick up here in verse 19. And let me encourage you to take some notes today, whether it be on a paper or your phone or whatever. There's going to be a ton of stuff up here. We're going to get through a lot, but I know that God's going to use it today. So verse 19, we'll just read the first two verses there. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. So God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, dwell in him and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So Paul here is expressing the fullness of Christ, all right? So this is in direct counter to the heresy that is being taught, because what is being taught right now in this time is that Jesus is just another spiritual being. You need more than just Jesus to get to God. And so here's Paul saying, no. He is the fullness of God. And so what that basically means, if you take God and everything that's inside of him, his essence, his power, his goodness, his presence, all of it, it dwells permanently in Jesus. So take everything that you see in God, and it is the exact same thing inside of Jesus. He's not a partial revelation of God. He is the full and final, complete revelation of who God is. So in other words, let's kind of put that in our words today, all right? Christ offers the whole package, all right? He is sufficient. That's the biblical core truth, is that Christ is sufficient. Christ is enough for me and for you. So Paul's telling them, everything that you see inside of God is also inside of Jesus. But then look at this. Look back at verse 20. And he says, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So he moves to teaching, how is God reconciling everything to himself? So what that really means is that through the blood of Jesus on the cross, there, if you go all the way back to creation, there's a fundamental brokenness in all of us, right? Sin entered into the world, so we all have sin. And because of that, we needed something to reconcile us with God. And the cross, the blood of Jesus, is the thing that does that, okay? Now, let me just, I brought a little prop here because I really want to try to drive this home, all right? Any Lego fans in the room? Got any Lego guys, scals, okay? So imagine just for a second, me and Pastor Stephen, we do Legos on the weekends together, okay? And we just hung out, and I didn't bring a big like spaceship or anything, just this little car and a tree guy that we did together. So imagine Pastor Stephen and I, we worked really, really hard on this. We get together, and right in the middle of us doing this, he says something that just really just kind of ticks me off, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore. Well, guess what just happened? A little bit of brokenness, right? Probably our relationship's going to have a little strain, right? What are you doing? We just spent all day making this. What are you thinking? And then Pastor Stephen gets mad and he goes home. And then here I am, and I'm sitting here like, well, man, I got a car, and I don't know where the wheel is, and it's broke, and I have no idea where this piece goes because I don't have the instructions. And I just start to piece this back together, right? And just imagine, like, I'm piecing it back together, and there's a couple of, I mean, this piece is broke. Like, it's not even supposed to be like that. So I get some super glue out, and I don't have the instructions, and I start trying to put this thing back together. And what do you think it's going to look like? it's probably not going to be what it should be, right? Now, imagine with me this. I'm sitting here, and I'm trying to pick up the pieces, and I'm trying to put it all back together, and then Pastor Stephen shows up, and he knocks on my door, and he says, hey, I want to come in, and I want to help again. I want to help you put that back together. It's my fault, right? I'm the one that got mad. I'm the one that's like, and he comes back in, and he says, not only do I want to help again, but I bought some more Legos, and I have the instructions. And I want you and I to sit down and redo this and do this again. And then what is going to happen now to that relationship? He's going to show me kindness. He's going to show me grace. He's going to show me what it means to bring back a brokenness in this relationship. And now he's going to give me the instructions, and together we're going to put this thing back together in a better way. That's exactly what reconciliation is. God doesn't just give us super glue for our lives. He comes in through Jesus, and he sits down, and he tells us, and he says, I paid the price for you. And he tells us that we're going to rebuild this thing, and we're going to build it back better than ever from the ground up, and we're going to be friends again, and we're going to make sure that everything is in the right place. That's what reconciliation is. And so here's Paul saying the reconciliation that we're able to have is through only the blood of Jesus. And that's the gospel. That's simple. That's the gospel. The reconciliation because of the blood of Jesus that you and I have. If we try to do it ourselves, it's going to be Band-Aids and super glue and not put together in the correct way, right? But because of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, we're reconciled to him. And so let me say this, if you get everything in life right, but get the gospel wrong, you have nothing. You have nothing right. You can build the best Legos, you can build the best life, you can have the most fun in the world, but if you get everything in life right, but you get the gospel wrong, you have nothing. So let me keep going here. So Paul says in verse 21, he says, once you were alienated and hostile in your minds as expressed in your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you to his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, blameless before him. So Paul moves from thinking about this world to making it personal, right? And he describes the before Christ and the after Christ picture. So before Christ, you were alienated, you were hostile in mind, you were doing evil deeds, and then after Christ, you were reconciled, you were holy, you were blameless, you were above reproach. Now, what is the mechanism here? What's the difference in these two things? Before Christ, after Christ. So the mechanism of change is what? It's not my good works. It's not how good of a person I am. The mechanism of change is Christ's physical body on the on the cross, in the grave, and risen. That's the mechanism of change in the before Christ and after Christ. So Paul says, once you were alienated, and then you came back, and you were reconciled. And then he says in verse 23, look at this. If indeed you remain grounded. Now think about that for a second. How many times in my life have I not been grounded? How many times in my life have I not made Christ the center of my decision, but made Bobby the center of my decision? He says, if you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard, this gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it. Paul says, if you remain grounded. Now, that does not mean you can lose your salvation. It doesn't mean that if you mess up, you're done, right? It doesn't mean that. He says, if you remain grounded. What he's saying is, if you remain grounded means there's evidence of your faith. There's evidence of your walk with Christ. You know the way that you can have proof of your reconciliation with Jesus? The way that you and I can have proof in our relationship is consistency and continuance, perseverance. And you and I, there's this call that Paul's given that if you remain grounded, you persevere in the truth
that you receive. You continue throughout your entire life to search after and strive after and become a better individual. And so what is that? What is Paul really trying to say? I think what he's trying to say here is that the gospel is free, but it's not cheap. The gospel is free. Anybody can have it. That reconciliation, that picking up the broken pieces and coming and being kind and giving the new instructions and making all things new, anybody can have it. But it demands a lifelong, faithful response. And the only way that you and I can become the people that God intended us to be is by having our lives deeply rooted in the gospel. Verse 24, he says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you. I am completing in my flesh what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for his body, that is the church. I have become its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known." So here's what Paul's saying, all right? He's saying, Christ experienced suffering for the sake of the church, and so am I. I'm here in prison. And he's saying, I'm a little bit afflicted myself. Not as much as Christ was, a lot less compared to how Christ endured. But nevertheless, I'm suffering. And I'm suffering for the sake of the church. Notice what Paul calls himself here. What does he say about himself in verse 23 and 24 and 25? He says, I am a servant. I'm a servant. So he's a prisoner in Rome, but what he really realizes that he's in prison for Christ. Not in prison in Rome. And so Paul views himself in the right manner. He views himself as a servant, not as someone that the church should be serving him. Now let me pause here and talk about two things. Number one, we have some servants here at City Hope Church. We have some people right here in this room. There are a bunch of people that God has brought to City Hope Church, and you have a servant mindset just like Paul, and I want to say thank you. Thank you for loving God. Thank you for your foundation being in the gospel. Thank you. It's not about you. You've proven that. You've shown that. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. But we have some amazing servants. Now, we have some amazing servants, but let's also look at the other side. You know what else we've experienced here at City Hope? A lot of people that think church should be about them. A lot of people that think the church should serve me and this me first mindset, and they walk in the door and it's like, how are you serving me? And then you know what happens? Not long after they walk in the door with the me first mindset, they walk out the same door with the me first mindset looking for the next church that's gonna serve them. And what we're trying to get and what Paul is trying to say, like, I want you to get the gospel. I want you to experience it. I want you to know love and grace and reconciliation. But once you get it, go and give it. Get the gospel and then go and give the gospel. And Paul says, I'm a servant and I'm suffering. It's not as much as Jesus. I'm in prison, but I'm doing this because I love the Lord so much. And then he says this in verse 26, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. Now, when you read that, the word that Paul uses here probably catches your attention is mystery, right? We view that word as a riddle or something that we must solve, but that's not really the biblical meaning here. The Greek word here is mysterion, and it means this, truth or plan of God that was once hidden, but is now revealed by him, right? So here's what that, it's something that God has always known, but he hadn't revealed it yet to people. So go back to the Old Testament. There's a lot of things that the Old Testament prophets taught, right? They pointed to the Messiah. They pointed to one day there's gonna be, but they did not know when it was going to happen. They didn't know the fullness of it. They knew a little bit. They had some knowledge, but they had to figure out what it truly meant. And so Paul says that it's now been disclosed to the saints. It was once hidden, but now it is revealed. And so verse 27, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here's what he's saying. It's not just this concept that Christ is around you. It's not just this concept that you know of him. It's the reality that Christ is in you. So let's break that down a little bit, right? So when you surrender your life to Jesus, he actually comes inside of you and takes up residence in your life. It's not just I have a little bit of knowledge of him and I try to do some good things. It's he comes inside and he takes up residence inside of me. And this wasn't revealed before, but now it is. And I want you to hear this today, friends, is that the Christian life, it's not about external rule keeping. It's about an indwelling power of Christ himself. It's about who Christ is on the inside of us. I read this story this week and it goes right along with this thought. Many of us live like Jesus is a distant landlord. He owns the building, which is our lives. He gave us the rule book, which is the Bible. And we mail our rent, our prayers or good deeds, to a P.O. box. He only shows up when we break the rules or something needs repaired. Our faith becomes about external compliance to a distant authority. But the Bible says something radical. At salvation, Jesus didn't just send us a rule book, he moved in. He's not in a distant office. He's in the living room, the kitchen, the front seat of your car. He's not a passive roommate. He doesn't just point out the mess, he helps you clean it. He doesn't tell you just to be kind, he produces his kindness through you. He shares the rent, pays the bills you can't afford, and knows everything about the place because he lives there. You see, the Christian life isn't just about imitating Jesus from a distance. It's about hosting Jesus on the inside and letting him live through me. It's not about just imitating Jesus from a distance and he's way over there and I'll try to do it and maybe I'll do it a couple times this week and then I'll forget about it next week and then, no. It's about hosting Jesus and letting Jesus, hey, you're on the inside of me and everything that I do needs to flow from you. These last two verses here in chapter one give us a really good model for ministry and discipleship. Verse 28, 29, he says, we proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Paul says this, I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me. Let's break this down real quick. Paul says, we proclaim him. What does proclaim mean? It means we share the good news. We share the good news. This is the starting point, Christians. This is where we get going. We open our mouths and we talk about Jesus. It's not about having all the answers. It's about pointing people to him. He's the one with all the answers and point to him. Proclamation, proclaim, is simply making Jesus known in everyday conversations. So Paul says we proclaim him. Then he gives this, he says we continue warning everyone. So the word here is admonish. We admonish everyone. We walk beside, not just walk from afar. We walk beside, not just watch from afar. This means I'm gonna love people enough to say hard things when they're drifting away from the Lord. I'm gonna love you enough. It's not condemning, it's caring. If you had a little kid and they took off running out into 170 today, what are you gonna do? You're gonna do everything you can to get them from stop running in traffic, right? You're gonna scream, you're gonna holler, you're gonna run after, you're gonna grab them, you're gonna snatch them. Is it because you hate them? No. It's because you want what's best for them. And so it's not condemning, it's caring. We warn people, we talk to people, we admonish people, we love people enough to speak truth with grace. And Paul says we're also teaching everyone with all wisdom. What does it mean to teach? It means to pass on what I've learned. If I want to teach, I pass on whatever I've learned. So discipleship isn't just about pointing out what's wrong. It's showing what's right. And teaching, it's coaching, right? It's sharing scripture. It's modeling prayer. It's showing someone how to follow Jesus. And Paul says, we need to proclaim, we need to admonish, we need to teach. And then verse 29, he reminds us it's not easy. He says, I labor for this. This is tough. I'm striving with his strength that works powerfully in me. What does striving mean? It means I'm depending on the power of God. It means I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna make disciples, I'm gonna strive, I'm gonna do my best. And Paul says, making disciples takes effort, but it's not in our strength. So practically, Think about it like this. When you feel unqualified, when you feel exhausted, when you feel unsure, remember it is God's Spirit that empowers you, not you. You're not doing this alone. And it doesn't take a title of a pastor. It doesn't take a seminary degree. It doesn't mean you got to be on a church staff for you to teach and love and proclaim and admonish and do all the striving that God tells us to do. Being a disciple of Jesus means not only did I receive it, but now I'm giving it away. Charles Spurgeon, very famous pastor and theologian, he says this: every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. And so here's what Paul is trying to say. Because of Jesus, he's saying, hey, church, man, God is this cosmic, unbelievable power in heaven and on earth, all of this. And he's also saying he's this very individual, personal God who loves you dearly. He sent Jesus to do all of this for us. And so here's who God is, and here's what he's all about, and here's who Jesus and what he isn't all about. And once you get that, you need to go, and you need to teach, and you need to tell people about this Jesus. So we've covered a lot today. I'm going to ask our team to come forward and prepare to close. But I pray that the Lord will use this letter for your journey. So let me ask you a couple questions as we wrap up our time today. Where are you looking for the fullness of God outside of Christ? Where are you looking for fullness in your life? Oh, there's just something missing. I'm trying to find purpose. I'm trying to find meaning. Where are you looking for fullness outside of Christ? Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's your relationships. Maybe it's your hobbies. Maybe it's your religious performance. Where am I looking for fullness outside of Christ? Am I living from my identity in Christ? Am I living from my identity in Christ? Because what Paul just taught us is that in Christ, I'm holy, I'm blameless, I'm loved. But yet so many of us get up and we see ourselves as an enemy. We see ourselves as an outsider. We need to embrace the reconciliation. I wonder today how many of you would say, I'm in a season of suffering. I'm in a season of struggles right now. I want to encourage you to find meaning in your suffering. Find meaning in your struggles. How can my struggles help somebody else? How can my struggles build up someone else around me? Here's a tough one. Because it shifts the focus. Those first three questions are about me, right? But here's a tough question. My disciple. Who are you disciple? Because he just said we need to warn, we need to proclaim, we need to admonish, we need to teach. Who are you proclaiming to? Who are you admonishing? Who are you discipling? As a follower of Christ, one who has received reconciliation, we are called to help others mature in him. Remember what we talked about last week is that there's a gap, right? There's a gap between people who have accepted Christ and people who are making disciples for Christ. There's a gap. Who are you proclaiming? And the last one. I want to encourage you today. More of an encouragement than a question. Labor in God's strength. Maybe you're tired. Maybe we use the word burnt out a lot. Maybe you don't have a lot of energy. Are you tapping in to the power source that is Jesus who lives within you? Or are you just trying to get this external stuff right? Tap into the labor in God's strength and not your own. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes today. We've covered a lot. And I pray that the Lord would use this in your heart and your life today. And I just want to encourage you. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, this reconciliation that I've been talking about, you can take that step today. There's people in this room, mature disciples of Christ, that would love to take God's word and show you and pray with you how you can take that step. Maybe today your life feels like these broken Legos up here. It's just broken. It's all over the place. I don't know how to put it back together. I don't have any super glue. I don't have any instructions. And today, God's just speaking to your heart. He's saying, bring it to me. Let me fix it. You stop trying. Just give it over to me. See, Jesus isn't just another spiritual being. He's the fullness of God. He's sufficient for all of my needs. Would you give your life to Jesus today? For some of you in here today, let me just encourage you with this. The reality of your situation, the reality of your relationship with the Lord, it's great and you're striving in it. But God's calling you to the next step of being a servant for it. Not just receiving it. Yes, we need to receive it. Yeah, every day I need to receive it. But I also need to be pouring it out. And if you can't look at your life and have a clear understanding of how am I pouring this out to others, then let me encourage you today to ask the Lord to show you how. How am I serving the Lord? How am I serving His church? How am I serving His kingdom? If we stop at just receiving it, we're missing it, church. We're missing it. I receive it. I need it often. Man, I need it every day. But I also am called to give it, to admonish, to teach. Who are you discipling? Who are you serving? And if you don't have a clear answer to that, then take that step today. Surrender and say, God, I'm yours. Use me how you want me. Maybe it's in the counseling ministry. Maybe it's in some other way. I don't know. But God, here I am. I don't know what God's putting on your heart today, church. But I want to ask you to be bold and listen. I want to ask you to be bold and respond. Father, we're so grateful for who you are. We're so grateful that we can call upon the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That even when our lives feel broken because we're the ones who smashed it, we're the ones who dropped the ball, that you are there to reconcile. You are there to pick up the pieces to make us new. I pray for the one in here that feels broken today, that feels like there's something missing, Lord. I pray that you would fill that void, that they would just be bold and courageous and take a step for you today, Lord. If there's one in here that has never truly made you Lord over their life, that they would take that step. I pray for those in this room that are broken. Would you today, God, show up and do a mighty work. I pray for those in this room who realize they don't have a clear place that they're serving. They don't have a clear place and person that they're discipling. God, I pray that you would just continue that conviction in our hearts that we can't stop at just receiving. That your word tells us to warn, to admonish, to teach. Walk alongside. God, give us that. Help us to find it. Lord, not for our glory, but only for yours. Jesus, precious, holy name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.